Sometimes change can feel scary, but it can also be exhilarating. A time to stretch our boundaries, embrace opportunity, and start something new. Welcome to the Baby Brunch Parenting Series, made just for you by BrightRock, the provider of the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. This is a Baby Brunch podcast. Sometimes as mommies, we have to change so much about ourselves to make sure that our babies are fine. Having a baby is already a change moment, and raising them just gives another dynamic because after pregnancy, there's also a baby to look after. And I always say a baby keeps growing, so you kind of have to educate yourself and you have to add on those layers of having to just know your baby or having to know yourself all the time because life doesn't stop. It doesn't wait for anyone. Today we have a story of healing, a story of yay, an incredible moment where you literally saw light because you found answers. It's really good to have you in my chair, Lydia.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
Tell me about growing up. Where are you from?
I'm half American, half British. So I was born in America and then moved to England when I was 11 and was there till I was 21.
Did you always want to be a mom?
Yes. I come from a family of seven.
Oh, wow.
So that was my dream. I'm a teacher. I love kids. Yes, I wanted to be a mom from very young.
Tell me about your pregnancy. You married to who you call in one of your blogs an incredible dad. You really wanted to start a family.
Yeah. We fell pregnant 4 months into our marriage, but that was what we wanted. We really wanted to have kids and to experience that. And I had a good pregnancy. Nothing really went wrong up until the very end, actually. So we didn't have any warning signs of any problems. Coming from a big family, my mom was very adamant that we have natural birth, and that was my hope and dream. Yeah, and then I actually went on maternity leave just 3 months before, 3 weeks before. So I left my crazy grade one class ready for 3 nice weeks of peace. And that Saturday, at midnight, I actually started bleeding very heavily. And we rushed into hospital, and Paige was born via an emergency C-section within the hour. That was a very traumatic start to life.
And so it didn't end up being that peaceful?
No, it wasn't. I had candles bought and was all prepared for the birth pool. And
did you also do the mixtape, like music?
Yeah, I had everything. I had the tape, never got to use it.
I don't even know where my music is. I think I recorded it and was about to use it. And I had an emergency seizure with my first baby, and I also never got to listen to it. I should actually find it and play it back to her now that she's 3 years old and go, hey, this would have been your music, okay? Sometimes, and I remember my own feeling around wanting a natural birth and having to have an emergency seizure, you're almost disappointed and you feel like, almost like you're disappointing others.
Hmm.
Did you have that feeling having your baby and having to take her out earlier?
Yeah, definitely. I was, even as they were wheeling me into theater, I was telling them, no, I'm going to have her naturally. Leave me alone. And my husband had actually been taken away to do paperwork, so he wasn't there. And I'm saying, ask him.
Oh, shame.
I was with a midwife, and she was very reassuring that, you know, I don't have a choice. Mm. Because my placenta had broken away from the uterus, so yeah, Paige literally had minutes. So yeah, I mean, it's good we are all at the end of the day, we are just happy that we were all healthy and fine, you know. And it took a few days to kind of accept that is what happened, and then you just kind of get over it and realize, well, now I've got this baby, and you know.
How many weeks did you carry her?
37.
Oh, wow. She was born at 37 weeks.
Yeah.
I saw her earlier. She's healthy.
Yeah. No, she's good.
She's a beautiful baby. She really is. So are you. You are very photogenic and your eyes sparkle. So I think you do. She got that from you. When she arrived, and did she go to ICU?
No, actually, we were very lucky. She was 2.2, so wow. Very small, but we went straight to the normal wards and were home within, by the third day, yeah.
Did you cope when she came home? Were you fine?
She wasn't breastfeeding well. She wasn't latching. So, yeah, we don't have family here in Pretoria. So it was tough. It was very tough. I thought it was going to be, you know, rocking a baby to sleep.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was just crazy, you know. She wouldn't feed. She wouldn't grow. She was very jaundiced. It was scary, I think.
What were one of the first things you did when you got home and you realized that I'm going to need some help?
For us, we really wanted to try and bond with her and not get in. A lot of, you know, friends or moms of friends actually offered to come round because we didn't have, you know, in-laws or my family there. But I didn't feel comfortable with that. I really wanted to just, you know, try and bond with her and you know, almost figure it out. But there was a lot of phone calls back and forth to my mom. It's just a natural thing. You kind of just... I don't know. Your life is so changed upside down.
Tell me about it. 2 months into your baby's growth and now she's fine and you are better. What did you notice? What did you see that concerned you?
Yeah, so we were finally mastering the breastfeeding. Everything was going so well. And then she started developing like scales on her scalp. So we just thought it was cradle cap, and treated it for that. But I mean, within days, it started spreading down her face, her forehead, and then her cheeks, and then just over the next few weeks, over her entire body, just was covered in this red scaly rash.
Did you get a diagnosis on it?
Yeah, we asked. I'd grown up with bad eczema, so actually. I immediately assumed that's what it was.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, our assumption was confirmed by the sister at the clinic and another doctor who said, yeah, it's definitely eczema.
What did they give you? What treatment did they offer?
Yeah, so then it's creams. And they immediately ask you, and they all ask the same questions. What are you bathing her in? Make sure nothing's scented. Make sure her clothes are made of cotton. Her linen is cotton, and be careful about what you wash your clothes with.
Sounds expensive.
It is. but yeah, I mean, we were doing that all from the beginning because I, with my eczema background, knew that you must avoid all of that. So luckily I can sew, so I sewed her clothes out of cotton. Nice. And the problem was then that... as the weeks went by, it actually got worse, not better.
How bad was it?
I mean, at times it was literally blisters that were oozing
all over her body.
All over. You could hardly touch her. Just thinking about it, it's horrible. I don't think anybody wants to see. You don't want to see your baby suffering, you know, and she was just covered. And luckily it was winter, so she would wear long sleeves and long pants. But, there were times where I literally couldn't bathe her because I would just cry so much because I felt so bad that she was in pain and there was nothing I could do about it. It was horrible.
Was it in her mouth as well? Or
no, not in her mouth. Just face, arms, tummy, back, legs. You know.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. I think the worst part for me was that people noticed, you know, and it looked bad her body was the worst, but that was covered. So when we would go out, it was just her face showing. And I was kind of confident that she looked fine because her face compared to the rest of her body was much better. But people would stop you and say, what's wrong with your baby? What's on her face? Why don't you try this?
Did people make it worse by asking?
Yeah, much worse.
Why do you think they do?
I don't know. I don't understand why people feel that it's their right to even approach you about that, you know? They don't know me. And it's every time it hit me like, I'm doing something wrong. I'm not a good mom. I'm not looking after my baby. Because the way they approached me was like, I'm clearly not doing something right because look at my child.
You're a great mom.
Thank you.
We talk about this a lot. I've made a video once where I appeal to strangers and to mommies, and especially older mommies, grannies, to just be careful what they say about our children and to not just reach out and touch them, or to be mindful of what they say and ask. Because you never know. You never know where that mommy is at or what she's thinking, what's going through her head. Even sometimes when people offer help, it feels like they're interfering, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like you say, you want to try to do it by yourself. It's your baby.
Yeah.
My baby.
And I should know what to do because I'm the with mom. Her all the time. Yeah.
So stop asking me.
And everybody has a cousin or a, you know, a sister's child who also has eczema, you know. Or my child has eczema behind the knees and this is what we use, you know. And I'm like, it's all over her.
Did any of their advice help?
I think we listened initially.
What
a
did you do?
Bit.
I mean, what kind of advice would they give? Would they say bath her in what? What would they say?
So it would be, don't bath her with scented soap. And then we'd be like, we're not, you know. And then it would be, use this cream. And we're like, we've already spent thousands. Oh, but this is a miracle cream. No. So that was the problem. Like eventually, if you literally went and followed people's advice, you could spend thousands. And we did initially because each cream we thought, okay, well, it worked for them. So, you know, we were desperate.
You saw a normal doctor. You got the advice from people on the street, the cousins, the sister's cousins. Did you see a homeopath?
Yeah. So eventually we did. Because I didn't want to go the cortisone route, and that's what the doctor prescribed, which really isn't good for, especially a baby's skin.
I don't think it's good for anyone.
Yeah.
It works quickly, though.
No, it does. It's amazing.
It's great for voice.
Oh.
Cortisone pills will have you singing like a nightingale.
Okay, I didn't know that.
True story. I speak for a living. So it's one of the things they put you on if you've got ENT problems, like most of us. Yeah.
Okay. No, that is really a miracle cream. It works, you know, within an hour. But I didn't, I mean, that's for a solution to put that on 3 times a day is crazy.
On a young baby. How old was she at the time when you think it was really bad? How old was she?
Well, it was 4.5 months when we eventually went to the homeopath. So it had been from 2 months. So about 2.5 months of just struggling with trying everything.
Did she sleep?
No, none of us slept. We had to get Velcro to Velcro her arms to her body.
You taped her arms?
With Velcro down around her body because she scratched so much and she was losing weight because she was, the doctor said she's burning all her calories because she could not sit, lie still.
Would she feed when you breastfed her?
Yeah. So at least the breastfeeding at that point was going quite well. But yeah, my husband and I would just take turns at night. He would do weekends holding her down, and then in the day as well. I couldn't even make a cup of tea because I couldn't leave her. She would scratch till it bled. And then we'd put socks on her hands and she would rub so much that it would, like a carpet burn, just rub off the skin off her face. By that point, I was a mess. I just stopped going anywhere. I stayed at home. I couldn't go to the shops because people would comment and it would make me cry. You know, I had its meltdown in the mall once and, you know, it's just awkward. And then people are looking at you.
Because they think, what's wrong with her?
Yeah. With this baby covered in rash. And when she got stressed, then it would flare up even worse. So, yeah, the one point I went to meet a friend for coffee and I went to go to the bathroom and left Paige with my friend. And she got so scared because now I'd left. And the rash was so bad by that point. And we had to rush home. And after that, we just, you know, my husband and I sat down and we said, we can't take her out anymore for now. It's just
too bad.
It's just too bad. The stress is too much for her. I'm emotionally not coping. So we just stayed at home, which was also
not good. Yeah.
We didn't see people, we didn't go places. Yeah, and that's the point where we were like, okay, let's try the homeopath.
What did the homeopath say?
So he said, oh, we're definitely in the right place. This is definitely eczema. And he had eczema growing up, and he was cured by homeopathic treatments, and he's so pleased that we've come. He is going to heal this rash.
Did it work?
Oh, so his method is to flush it out the body. So he gave us all these strange little drops that we had to give her and creams.
Flush expensive. The eczema out of her body. And
yeah.
Okay.
So they say their alternative is to medicate and flush it out, so it's going to get worse for
before it gets
a
better.
Little bit, and then it's but the worst is actually it flushing out, and then it will be perfect.
Sorry, I'm scratching my head because I'm thinking that she's a young baby, and you are hoping for an answer, and you finally got it, right?
Mm. No, we were so excited. Okay, I was more excited than my husband. He was very skeptical from the beginning. But I was like, this is going to work, you know. And this doctor was so positive and, you know, convinced really that he was going to cure her.
Did they prescribe anything for you?
I had to take, I can't think what it was. There was a few like health things and he said I mustn't eat red meat. I don't know what the point of that was, but anyway. So I did those things, but yeah, then it was because I was breastfeeding. So he said something about red meat going through is going to make the eczema worse. I don't know. Oh, probiotics. That's what he put me on.
Right. So up until this point, you've tried everything. You've tried advice. You've seen the homeopath. Did it help your baby?
No. So within, I would say, probably by the next day, the rash was getting worse. Then it was weekend. I think I took her on a Thursday. Over the weekend, she just, like, it was probably triple, you know, having got worse times three or four. Her entire body, then she was just screaming and, you know, there was nothing we could do. I was bathing her three times a day and three times a night in cold water. So just, that
it
was
would
the
cool
only
her down,
relief. Yeah. So she'd lay in the bath, and then as soon as she was out, she'd start itching again and crying. And that Monday, then I called him and I said, listen, you know, she's looking so bad. And he just there, that's what I wanted to hear.
Oh, dear.
And I said, but I can't do this. Like, you know, I'm not coping. My baby's not sleeping. She's, you know, we're going crazy. And he said, just be patient. It needs to flush out. Give it a week and then come back to me for a follow-up. So
did you continue with that kind of treatment?
We did.
Yeah. I'm not a medical practitioner. I work in entertainment, but I can guarantee you, I don't think I would enjoy something getting worse before it gets better. I want something. If I'm going to pay you money, I want something to get better.
Yeah.
You know? I want it to get better now.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think his philosophy behind it was so convincing, though, that you have to flush it out. So that's what I kept saying. It's flushing out. It's flushing out.
He should be a motivational speaker then.
Yeah, maybe. He was very convincing. But yeah, so we stuck with it and for maybe a week further.
Your baby is in agony. What helped? What? How did you fix it?
So yeah, after about another week, I called him and I just said, I'm cancelling my appointment. Actually, I was too shy. I said, I have flu. I can't come to my appointment because I didn't want to, you know, I don't know. I didn't
Why
want
not?
To be.
Why didn't you tell him that I think it's not working?
I told him in an email, but yeah, on the phone, I just said I had the flu. I think that's my personality.
No, I think it's most of us because we think that we can't tell people about our own kids, you know?
Plus it was facing the fact that I'd made a massive mistake by putting her through this, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't want to admit that I'd made her so much worse.
Because here's the thing, I had to realize it recently as well, that health practitioners and doctors, they're also people.
Mm.
And dentists are people too. And sometimes you don't get along with your dentist, so you just don't go back. But that's your choice. because you're paying for a service and you want to work with people who you get along with. I've had a pediatrician before that I took my daughter to, and I don't think I'll go back because I didn't like the way she treated me, and I didn't like the way she pinched my daughter's tummy and said, "Look at you, and your mom runs."
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, because people
sure
say the darnest things.
Yeah.
You know? Do you have the support of a mommy group?
Yeah, actually, I'm on 2 mommy WhatsApp groups, mm-hmm. Which I was very hesitant to join. I was like, I don't want to do this. but yeah, the one has been so amazing.
Why did it help? What happened?
So what happened was actually, it was probably the same week that we stopped going to the homeopath. One of the moms messaged on this group, just to let everyone know, her son's skin is completely clear, and she had posted like weeks before, actually I think before I was even part of the group, that she was going to try eliminating foods out of her diet.
Ah.
And his skin is clear. And that was the first time I'd ever kind of made the, I don't know, it was like food and skin. So no doctors had ever suggested that.
That you cut out certain foods in order to save her skin?
So that foods that you eat can cause reactions through your breast milk. That was the first I'd kind of heard that
wow.
was...
Wow. Okay, so that sounds really simple, but no one has even thought about it up until this point?
Yeah, no one had thought about it. And actually, the kind of information that's out there is that the proteins in food don't pass through your breast milk. Except for, I think, dairy. So they'll often say stop dairy, but it is slightly rare. I think not all moms the proteins pass through the milk, so it is only a small percentage. But nobody had ever kind of put that thought in my head.
What did you cut out?
So yeah, at that point I actually messaged her privately. She's now become one of my closest friends actually, and we've walked this the last 6-7 months now, very closely. But yeah, so she explained to me about the top 8 allergen foods. I don't know if you know
what those are. What are they?
So that's fish, shellfish, eggs, peanuts, tree nuts, dairy, soy, and gluten.
That's all my favorite food.
Yeah. When she told me that, I said, I won't manage, no.
So she cut out these particular foods and that cleared up her baby's skin?
She actually noticed when she ate certain things that he was reacting. So she didn't do this. She didn't cut out the allergens like I was thinking of doing.
What was the first thing you did, and did it work?
So they say you must eliminate slowly so that you can see a change. So we had actually 2 incidents that week. One, I was at a friend's and they were eating carrot cake.
Right.
I didn't eat any. And then one friend was holding Paige, and Paige had a complete hives body, full body reaction
wow.
that evening. So I traced it back to there were nuts on top of the cake. And they had it on their hands, I guess.
She's allergic to nuts.
So yeah, so that was sort of a light bulb moment. And then that weekend we went to an event and there was fish. And I ate fish and shellfish, and we got home and she was again covered in hives. We had to put her in the bath. So yeah, from that day I stopped fish, eggs, and peanuts and nuts. That was very hard for me because I'm a peanut butter addict.
I'm just a food addict. If you had to tell me to cut out food, I'll just say, just give me the cortisone cream.
Especially when you're breastfeeding and you're so hungry.
I'll bath in the cream.
Oh,
did it work?
No. So those 3, it was probably 3 weeks then. There was no change. I was taking daily photos of her skin and I was writing down.
So you kept a food and skin diary,
yeah.
All of that.
So writing everything I ate, every time I applied cortisone, the thing that changed, what the weather was like, because it seemed to fluctuate.
When it's warmer.
If it was hot or cold. So I was writing everything, but we weren't noticing much. So then I think it was about 3 weeks. Then I dropped dairy, which I was very worried about because I love cheese.
You mean like all dairy and a little bit of
all dairy,
whole milk?
No. So the thing is, it takes a few weeks to actually get out of your
system,
out of your milk. So it will be silly to even have a sip of milk because now you're starting again, if you think about it like that. So, yeah.
Did you cut it out completely?
Yeah. To this day, I have not licked one piece of chocolate.
I can see that. You're so lean.
Yeah. It's a great postpartum diet.
So the day you cut out milk, did her skin clear up? Was she healed?
So the dairy takes a few weeks, so I was prepared. Okay, that's going to take a while. But she had been vomiting up a lot after most feeds, as well as all the rashes and everything. So after like a week or two of dairy, I started noticing she was vomiting less, but her skin was still very bad. The one I really didn't want to cut out was gluten. So, yeah, all grains, not just wheat. So everything that contains gluten. And that's including down to braai spice that has gluten in, down to...
Braai spice has gluten in it?
Has gluten in it. You know, once you start looking, you...
You find.
So,
you
yeah.
You could probably find gluten in dust.
Yeah.
So you cut out all these things. Did it work?
So finally, so that was the eighth allergen I cut out, and exactly 10 days after gluten, so now I've not been on any of these foods, 10 days after gluten, she looked like a different child. We woke up and she was, I've got photos of what it was like the day I stopped gluten and the day that I, 10 days later, she was, her skin was like a normal color. The rashes were gone.
Are you trying to tell me that, so you eliminated all these foods, by the eighth food, your baby woke up with clear skin. She was looking like, I don't want to say normal, because, you know, our abnormal is our normal. You know? But it worked?
So it worked, yeah. Amazingly.
How long has it been since you have introduced any of those foods?
So that was when she was 7 months, so end of November. So,
wow.
Yeah, so we cleared all of that out of our house.
And do you not have it in your home at all? Does your husband consume it?
If he's not at home. So, and I can get to this when I tell you about the actual diagnosis, but she is what they call touch sensitive. So if you are eating a piece of bread and are holding her, she will react to the crumbs on your hands. So to have it in the house is, you know, if she has a play date and crawls on the floor at
and
a friend's
dropped,
house, she gets rashes. Yeah.
So after you cut out the foods, did you take it to someone for an actual diagnosis? Did they do a prick test or did they do any, did they draw bloods?
We went for full bloods at an allergy clinic and what they call a scratch test.
Right.
So they actually scratch the allergens into the skin on the back and then you watch the reactions happen in front of your eyes. And I was so convinced that she was not allergic to dairy because we hadn't seen a big change.
Mm.
So I'd already got a big bar of chocolate that I was going to have when I got home. And then the first one she actually reacted to very badly was, unfortunately, the dairy. So
what else is she allergic to?
So, yeah, her diagnosis was then that she's allergic to eggs, all gluten and grains and anything containing gluten, dairy and nuts and peanuts.
Wow. So finally you had an eureka moment, but now you had homework to do. You had to go home and eat. Very carefully. Once they did the diagnosis and you, your allergy clinic did the testing. Did you get advice from a dietitian of what to make?
I actually didn't. Instead of going to a dietitian, my mom told me that my cousin, who I don't know, I didn't grow up with her. She's in America. She has a son who's apparently very similar, or they had a similar story.
Mm.
So I got in contact with her immediately, and her son actually has the same allergies as Paige, the same diagnosis. So she started sending recipes, what to buy, The thing is, America has
yeah
everything for allergies. Unfortunately, here there's very little, or it's crazy expensive. But yeah, I mean, that started then a network of connections with moms mm-hmm. who have allergy children. And in a way, they've been the biggest support, the biggest help. I mean, we share recipes, ideas. If someone finds something they can make that they share to all of us.
I'm smiling because I saw your baby earlier and she's perfect and she's beautiful. And I can't imagine that for so long you didn't know, you know, or no one knew.
Yeah.
And it's nobody's fault. It's definitely not your fault. It's no one's fault.
Mm.
She's fine now, you know. What do you eat? What did you have for breakfast?
Gluten-free oats. We just, Paige and I both just have oats with raisins and some grated apple.
Can she have sugar?
I choose not to give her sugar.
Another, you should put a ninth allergy.
Yeah.
Wow. And then what will she have for lunch?
She had rice, chicken. So we just cook without, we mostly just cook with salt and pepper in our house because most of the spices have gluten in. Or surprisingly, dairy is in a lot of things that you wouldn't know.
Mm. Have you lost weight?
Yes, a lot.
Because it's a healthier way of life?
Yeah, I think, I mean, breastfeeding anyways, I think I was losing weight from the beginning.
Now let me
tell you
something.
I know not everyone.
Breastfeeding did zero to my kilojoules.
Okay.
I'm just glad your baby's fine.
Hmm. No, it's amazing.
What would you say to moms who would like to follow an allergen-free lifestyle? Because I can imagine if you don't know, it's so overwhelming. And just telling me about it, it seems like you need to do your homework, you know?
Yeah, I think at the beginning it was very overwhelming. I just didn't know what to do. And, you know, we went to the shops and all the foods were just double the price, you know, that we could have. But even then, I mean, you get a gluten-free bread that contains egg or is made with nut flour, or you get something that's dairy-free that then has gluten in. So I couldn't find any foods that were free of all eight. And that was quite overwhelming for me. I was convinced I was going to starve to death.
No, yes.
But yeah, we didn't. I had to continue breastfeeding. And one tiny mistake would make her react. Like once I ate popcorn that had Aromat on it, which contains gluten, and she broke out in a rash about an hour later.
She's 11 months now. Until what age would you want to breastfeed your baby?
My goal is a year, but I'll see if I can carry on. Unfortunately, she can't go onto any formula. She's except for the one, the one that all allergy parents know about, that it's too expensive to afford.
You stop working?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think the breastfeeding was one. I needed to continue, and I didn't know how I was going to keep it up. Being a teacher, grade one, and, you know, how am I going to get the pumping schedule right? And then the other one was we can't put her in a nursery because of all the foods. I mean, you can't expect them to sit her at a special table, or what if another child's eating a biscuit next to her, kind of thing.
Do you think she'll outgrow it?
They're very hopeful. They say the more careful you are, the more higher the chance. Mm. And also multiple food allergies often are less severe than if she would have, just say, a peanut allergy, for instance. So, yeah, the doctor said 50% outgrow it by 3 years, and a further, I think, 75% by 6.
Is it hard for you as a woman or a mom to have given up your own career to make sure your baby's fine?
No. At times it's hard. It's an identity thing. I love teaching. I think I was good at it, you know, and that's what I did for, I've taught for 12 years now. And to pull out, and everything is being a mom now. I think that was the hard thing. It wasn't hard to give it up for her, I don't think. No.
What's the most rewarding part about being Paige's mom?
That I'm her favorite person in the whole world. Yeah, I mean, we're together all the time. So I think to have that bond with this little person is so amazing. Mm. And, you know, even if I leave her at home with the dad, he says usually it takes about an hour and then she'll start crawling around the house looking for me. And that's very special.
You made me hungry now.
Oof, don't talk about food.
You're a great mom.
Thanks.
And I think it's remarkable what you've done and the research and the time that you've put into this to make sure your baby's fine, you know? Because she's flourishing. I mean, look at her. Where we're sitting, we can see her through a glass. She's on the other side with her dad. What are your hopes and dreams for your baby?
Well, I have lots of hopes and dreams. I think in the throes of it, I remember crying, saying to my husband, you know, how can she have a future? She can't, you know, we can't leave her. That was my biggest fear, actually. What's her future going to be like? And now to think that she can, you know, as long as it's managed, it's not cured, but her condition is managed, that she can go and adventure and do what she wants with life. And it's so amazing. And yeah, you know, I'm actually, this is a slight off topic, but I'm seeing a mom next week who has three children in the same condition, but they are about 10 years older than Paige. And I'm actually helping her do some baking and so on. Yeah, and recipes and so on. But, you know, those children don't really have a life. They have to get, in the summer, they only go to school half day because their skin is so bad. And, you know, it's terrible. It was such a scary thing for me to think that was going to be her life. And, you know, the fact that it's not is so exciting and hopeful.
What do you think for you as a mom was your biggest change moment?
Whew, being tied down 24/7. I think, yeah, that lack of freedom. I mean, you literally can't do anything that you want anymore. And I remember people saying, you know, oh, you have to wait till someone comes to look after the baby to have a shower even. And I was like, no, I'll just put her in the, you know, on the floor. And it's true. Like, you just don't have your own time anymore. And that's hard.
Would you have another baby?
Yes.
Please, God, may you have another baby.
Thank you.
For these and many other stories, you have to go to babybrunch.co.za. Our ordinary women who do extraordinary things. Just like Lydia. Wow. What a story. Paige is going to be awesome.
Yeah, let's hope.
Baby Brunch is made just for you by BrightRock. Becoming a parent changes everything, from your sleep schedule to your finances. That's why BrightRock's Needs Match Life Insurance lets you precisely craft a solution to cover your specific needs. From protecting your income to covering your debts and your child's future, because you pay just for the cover you need, you can get up to 40% more cover. So get the first ever needs-matched life insurance that changes as your life changes. Go to brightrock.co.za. BrightRock Life is an authorized financial services provider and registered insurer. Terms and conditions apply.